Yeah, so did you imprison a green three-eyed tiger here?
Because
I'm looking for a green three-eyed tiger, and I'm pretty sure it was in a biolab, just like this
Morgan
one.
Is like, what? Like, they have not gotten that kind of question before, especially not being, like, in the university lab. Like, that looks like a, you know, a normal college student biolab. So, they look very taken aback, like, I'm sorry. A what?
Yeah, it's...
Wait, okay, a tree-high? Tree-high green tiger? Is what you...
Yeah, it's about horse height, three eyes, green stripes, tiger, big, calls itself the Flurgel Schwumpf. It was here, like, little over 6 months ago, I'm pretty sure.
Welcome to Reddington. FlurgyQuest is recorded in front of a live studio audience. You may have noticed, dear listener, that not everything in town has gone quite according to plan lately. An important part of helping run any city is being ready for the unexpected. I didn't expect to need to regain Mark's trust on the night of the Titanic exhibit, for example, but I think it's important that we document the journey that started as a result, a journey that would come to be known as FlurgyQuest. The journey begins as Mark and Isolde make their way home the night of the Titanic exhibit.
So I think walking home as Mark and offering an arm if Isolde wanted it, but
Isolde's got a bit of a headache, and she's a little confused by that because she didn't drink all that much. Like, she's like, I don't know why she, you know, visibly a bit perturbed by the headache and has no idea where it came from, but isn't, like, disturbed by it, you know?
Would
take it, I think.
Okay. I mean, would this be visible? Would you say anything about it?
I think she's just kind of squinting a lot, just trying to... She doesn't want it to be noticed, but it might, if you were to really look.
Oh, yeah, no, Mark would notice.
Okay.
I think Mark would then, you know, put his left arm around her waist and sort of hold her right hand and just sort of, you know, be helping a little bit more. Mm. And are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. It's a little strange. I used to get this more when there was a lot of people around.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while. I haven't really had this since I was younger, but it's been a long week.
Okay.
Oh, I've got some very strong over the counter painkillers back home for instances like this. So
okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's get you home then.
Thank you, Mark.
Of course. And yeah. Sort of smiling a bit at the ease of saying Mark. Yeah, so sort of hurry Mom home and get her in and grab her some water and a little bit of fussing in terms of, like, you know, where do you keep the medicines and get
it? It's just in a cabinet, pretty loose, you know, not a name brand medicine. It's got the label of what it is and...
yeah,
you know, sits back,
takes
it and everything and sits back. Did you enjoy yourself in the end?
Yeah, I did. And Mark sort of, you see how visibly relaxed Mark is as he's sitting in their chair and, you know, his arms are in front of him. And I think he's draped his jacket over the back of the chair and, maybe rolled up his sleeves a little bit. And yeah, it was fun. I mean, I didn't talk to many people, but, like, I don't know, walking behind everyone, it was good. It was fun.
Good.
Yeah.
You ever think, well, you can do it as often as you like around here. You just...
Yeah, I think I'd like that if you're cool with it.
Of course.
That said, something happened, and you see Mark's features sort of flicker in terms of, like, puffing out a little bit more like Cece's cheeks. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and not quite sure what they want to settle on. I would love to be Mark around here, but yeah, so Wendy was at the gala. Did you see that?
Yes.
Yeah. She stopped me afterwards, and me as
you are.
As people expect. And yes, as I am, but okay. As people expect.
Okay.
As well. And told me actually that a friend of mine that I haven't seen in a while is alive and in the woods. And I really, Mom, I think I gotta go. I haven't seen, them in a really long while. And, I didn't think they were alive even. Anyway.
It's okay. It's okay. In the woods, do they're an animal. Know what they're okay, so yeah. They know what they're doing out there. That's well,
they
good.
Were wounded the last time I oh. saw them. They were it's a tiger, name of Flurgel Schmoof, horse height, green, three eyes, tusks. They were bleeding out, and Flurgel I got Schmoof. Them free, and I don't, and then something happened, and
okay.
I'm sorry.
It's, you don't have to apologize.
I mean, normally I tell everyone, but like, I can't find Flurgy just as myself. You get it? Like, I have to be able to be like a lot of things to maybe okay. find, and I don't want to tell everyone.
Okay. But you don't want to go alone.
I'd rather not. But also, Mom, I can't. I love you, but, like, this is not for you. I mean, okay. not that you aren't
no,
really
I,
strong,
I'm,
like, an amazing... I
am not equipped to be out in the woods looking for a
Flurgy. You can call him Flurgy. It's
Flurgy.
Yeah.
I will be the first to admit that that's not my forte. You know...
Hmm?
I think there might be more people around here that can help than you may think.
That I can trust?
I think so. You remember what I said, that certain people we can be ourselves around here?
Yeah. No, I remember.
For better or for worse, that is what this looks like.
And Mark, without worrying or hesitating, is holding Isolde's hand.
Okay. Just sits with him there.
Actually, it's really nice to just sit. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I'll be honest. Mm-hmm. I think what I'm getting from this is that it's going to take just a little bit of time.
Yeah. I don't know how long, actually. These things sometimes take a while.
And they might take a while in pairing.
I mean, I'm good to go. I've got my sack. Like, I'm good. I could head off now. Not that I want to head off now.
I know you probably could. I should.
Cece starts realizing maybe Isolde wants her to stay.
I'm not going to keep you from going to find your friend. I wouldn't dream of it. I think that I would worry if I thought you charged into this. Alone or without preparing yourself, there.
Cece tightens, holding Isolde's hand. Okay.
I've got a feeling, and I've learned not to ignore those.
Okay.
That you, I don't want to limit you, Mark, but you need a moment. I just somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Okay. I promise. And sort of takes Isolde's hand and kisses it. Okay. But
but I am going to be sort of an obnoxious presence on your trip anyway, because, well, I don't have a cell phone to give to you.
I don't, like, I mean, Morgan's way better at that than I'm ever gonna be.
Morgan's very kind, but I believe that is a sorry state of affairs we all find ourselves in. However, I think I do have someone who can help get your team started.
Like Delilah?
I mean, you could certainly ask Delilah. I was thinking more along the lines of, do you want to bring Dale?
Dale? I mean, Dale?
Dale?
No, I mean, I love Dale, but...
Dale has a lot of reach.
He might break. He's porcelain. He's porcelain, Mom. Like...
I'm not suggesting that Dale
break
the tiger as much as...
Well, I mean, Dale can't move without my help. I mean, if Marcy wanted to come, at least they could move, but...
I don't know about that.
No, I'm not... Is Marcy there?
No, I don't think... I think she's probably listening to, like, to Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go by Wham, like, being, like, weirdly angry.
Amazing. Okay, well, in that case, just be like, I don't think that'd be wise.
Right, so Dale has a lot of reach. If you need to go out to the forest and you need someone back in town with an ear out, then Dale can talk to me. And my French isn't what it used to be, but it's fine.
Oh, wait. Okay, right. So, you're saying, how far away can you hear things? What?
A ways if, I know Dale. And that helps. Okay. It's more of a matter, it's not how far can I hear things all the time as much as it's how close to me can I keep things.
Mark's confused, but it's... okay. This
it's
is
more about
not his
out.
Realm. Still confused, yeah. But okay.
Well, I'll explain some other time, but I think
okay.
If you bring Dale, and I'm listening for Dale, and I know it's Dale.
Okay, hold on, wait. Okay, so hold on, let me stay there, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark goes and runs up the stairs and goes into his bedroom and closes the door and goes up to Dale and goes, bonjour. Do I awake?
They qui? Si.
Oui. Si. Okay, Oui, c'est moi. Je suis Marc. Maintenant, je m'appelle Marc. Et je m'appelle Cici. Et je m'appelle... Oui, c'est moi.
They don't want to become Cici right now. They're enjoying this body. They don't want to.
I think Dale probably gets the picture.
Yeah, Mark. Yeah, Mark.
Oui. Mark. Tu comprends?
What?
Just
same. Same.
Oui, merci. D'accord. Tu peux parler avec maman quand tu es ici et pas.
Mama.
Isolde.
Makes sense.
Just waiting. The headache still kind of is like, this is not the best time to demonstrate, but yep.
Isolde.
Bonjour, Dale. Comment ça va?
Ça va. Y a Cici qui voulait que je te jase. Fait que. Allô?
Cici veut parler avec moi.
What?
Sorry. God, it's been a while.
Tu l'avais.
Dale, tu peux écouter Isolde? Maintenant?
Ouais.
D'accord. Restez-vous ici. Un moment. And I rush down the stairs to Isolde.
Comme si je pouvais aller quelque part d'autre, hein?
Isolde, tu l'écoutes? Tu l'écoutes? Maintenant? Oui? Yes? Oui? Ah! D'accord. Un moment. All right. As Cece rushes up the stairs and takes Dale in their arms and rushes downstairs. Is there a back garden or something like that?
Yeah, I think so.
And it's nighttime. Great. You know, sort of goes down to the back door and looks around to make sure no one sees them and then steps out and goes as far, like, to a fence or whatever it may be, holding Dale towards the corner and goes, Angar.
Soldat.
Salut, Dale.
Not Angar.
We,
Il mâche? Je quitte. Il mâche, Dale?
Mâche. No movement.
D'accord. And Mark C starts like sneaking. Is there a fence or no?
Probably a waist high fence.
Okay, like there's gotta be a latch though. Yeah,
there's a latch.
Okay, out and sneaking down the street to the corner. Angar.
He's older.
Bonjour, Dale.
Hello. Not encore.
C'est moi.
Cool. C'est it. Marche. Désolé, Marche. Ça marche.
D'accord. And Cece is so excited that they hold Dale in their arms and just sort of twirl into a nice raven and flap their way back to Mom's house.
Dale's like, c'est un bubble.
Bubble. A ball.
No. I mean, does only the backpack or it's whatever, like, is, I guess it's only the backpack. So I don't have the backpack with me. So yeah, you're in my claws. Right. I don't have my magic backpack. Right. So sort of floop together at the gate and go in and close the door and whatnot and inside. And I'm like, I cannot believe this works. This works. Hello, Dale. We didn't ask. I'm going to say this out loud so that everyone could hear. J'espère tu me comprends. I'm leaving, and looks at Isolde, eventually, when...
Over the next little bit.
Yeah, no. I can wait. Mm. I can wait, and sort of again relaxes a bit more into Mark. I can wait. Maybe not too long. I don't know if they're
not good. not too long. No, I just
okay.
I'll let you know if I great. Come across anything else.
Okay, Dale, I need to go on an adventure, and we were hoping you would come as kind of a walkie-talkie.
All right, that's all right. What? Nice. See ya.
Viens avec moi. On the future, pour l'adventure.
What? Oh, it's assassin.
Tu es
à la capote, le
téléphone. Oh,
téléphone, ouais. Oh.
Ça va?
D'où le contacter? Isolde, tout le temps, walk my distance. So, ouais, ok, ouais.
Oui. C'est bon?
Ouais.
Oh,
enfin.
Oh, vraiment. And I hug Dale.
Side of the fun.
Pardon.
No, just side of the fun. Fun, c'est pas un mot anglais, ça, fun.
Oh, oui, c'est le fun, pas enfin, d'accord.
No, but.
Quoi?
Dale is dead. F-U-M. Have left to worry about.
Oh, c'est fun.
Hi, fun.
Ah, d'accord. C'est amusant, ouais. Oh, merci, Dale. Et blah, 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 sort of pulls themselves together. Somehow it's more difficult to remember to, well, when you're in a different animal shape, it's easy to speak in that animal shape. But when you're in human and you switch between languages, it's much more confusing. okay, all right. Okay. I think we have a plan. Yeah. And how is your headache? You okay?
It's waning. It's waning.
Okay.
Working on it.
I'm not, me being this isn't.
No. Big room full of people.
Wait. And Mark leans forward. If you're hearing things and dolls and things and you get into dolls and are you always hit by like spirits and poltergeists and things?
Spirits attach themselves to people more than anything else. And if they think someone can hear them.
Cece breathes way out. Yeah, I get that. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I learned what to do, and I learned not to feel guilty or selfish that I can't talk to every single one that talks to me.
Mark leans forward very seriously and says, you understand not everyone is worth talking to, and not everyone's worth saving. You know that, right?
I know that now.
So sorry.
We know it together.
Okay, so maybe just stay away from parties for a while?
The four of us in a little bit more. I may still have to...
Yeah. Wait, aren't you doing a stall at the festival?
Oh, yes, that'll be fine.
How do you handle festivals?
I just do it. There's not really much explanation.
Okay, well, you realize you're not going to do that alone, right? I don't know. Do you have I'll put it in my backpack. We'll bring water. And we're going to bring snacks and we're going to bring like your entire cabinet. And I'm going to be on hand and I promise I won't go weird.
You're
okay. I'm just going to be right by you and we're going to get you through it.
Mark, I go out to these things because I want to, because in a way it does still keep me sane. And
yeah, but you don't need to be alone. You get that?
I have mercy.
Maybe
more.
Yeah. If you're okay with it, Mom, I don't want to go anywhere. Please. I'm sorry. I'm asking too much.
No. You're okay. And I think I'd like to have you at that festival with me, and then you're going to find your friend, and it's going to be okay. You're going to be at home here. Okay?
Okay. I really... Thank you.
Thank you.
And you tell me whenever you need this not to be home, okay? That'll be okay. I fucking love you. Okay. Anyway. Okay. We'll worry about that in the future and I'll try to figure out how to be nicer to Mercy.
I don't even worry about that. I need to make that appointment.
What? Do you need me to schedule something for you?
No, Mark, you're fine.
Okay.
Festival. Eyes on that. We finished with the godforsaken exhibit.
Yeah. I don't know. I enjoyed it, but
things happen for a reason, but
yeah.
God almighty.
Yeah. Okay, just, you know, fall festival, and then you tell Dale the next time you have a big adventure and coming up, you know, and wherever I am, I'll just make sure I come back. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
In the ensuing days, Isolde and Mark prepare for the fall festival. And for Mark and Dale to head out in search of Flurgy.
Have you or a loved one suffered from a lack of access to quality cheeses? If you're experiencing symptoms such as feeling blue or finding your hair grayer than it was yesterday, and you can't bear it any longer, it's time to call the cheesemongering firm of Shudda, Wudda, and Gouda. Formerly one of Reddington's preeminent law firms, butter cases dried up. The partners of Shudda, Wudda, and Gouda set out to prove a lone cheesemonger can't compete with a trio of skilled negotiators. Now, we specialize in importing an abundance of premium cheeses, shoulda, woulda, and gouda. We import them, you eat them.
After the festival passes, and with Isolde's wards against harm carefully in place, it's time for Mark's leave-taking.
And even though Dale has been magicked to be okay, I think I would still wrap Dale, like, you know, in a, like a flannel t-shirt, not t-shirt, but like, you know, flannel a little bit, and put him safely in my backpack. And I've got some supplies as well. And I kiss Mom and I head off. And actually, I nearly go out the door as Mark. And then I'm like, wait, no. And I come back in and I'm, you know, go back out the door and I'm Cece. And because I've been hanging around the house as Mark. So go out. And as I leave the front door, basically realize I have no idea how to start this quest. So all I know is that Wendy told me that Flurgy has been seen towards which the western, like the northwest. So all I know is that it's toward the northwest. The last time I saw Flurgy, however, was in some sort of crazy lab. And I remember that actually I have a couple of like helpful supplies that I left back at the bio lab, because when I went to the Reddington Historical Preservation Society that first day, I didn't think I needed, for example, my first aid kit, and this, that, and the other. So I transform myself into a mouse and I go through the sewers until I get to the bio lab, passing by the, what is it? The Beans? What's that coffee shop?
Our Beans Cafe.
Right.
I know it now.
passing by there, rumbles and a strange smell that sort of hits me of someone that's sitting in that coffee shop. A smell I really haven't had before, but I'm like, okay, nope. Go get your stuff at the bio lab. Get to the bio lab, get into my closet, start putting stuff in. Not really looking behind me, when all of a sudden,
somebody enters the bio lab of the university. Somebody being Morgan. Yeah, no. No, right. Morgan is actually, trying to steal, borrow some glass cylinders from the university lab because, one of their plants have been going crazy and moving around, breaking stuff in the lab at the Historical Preservation Society. And so they're trying to replace what's been broken. And they are just going to borrow some stuff from the university lab until they get stuff. Okay, they can bring it back. So they just enter the lab, open the door because they have the key to the university lab. Obviously, they are a TA and a lab assistant at the university biolab, so they can enter easily and don't look suspicious at all, obviously doing that.
Whereas Cece got in by being a rodent, and then a fly, and then a rodent, and then a person again. you know, the easy way to get in on doors. Hearing the door open, Cece freezes and freaks out and kind of like tries to get further in the closet and realizes it'd be weird if they shut the door real quick to the closet. And panicking, kind of is hearing the beakers being moved and whatnot, and maybe like peeks around the corner and sees their one possible nemesis, Morgan. Just for background, before Cece lived with Isolde, Cece was spending their nights as a white lab rat in the bio lab. So sometimes Morgan has three rats and sometimes Morgan has two, and Cece has, like, of everyone in the Historical Preservation Society, Morgan is the only one that doesn't know that Cece shapeshifts, and, Cece would prefer not to be caught. So they're panicking because normally they would just become the white rat again in the bio lab, and they're like, no, don't do that. And so the most recent other thing they've been is Mark, but they don't want to be Mark because Morgan knows Mark, and why would Mark be in the bio lab unless maybe Mark is stalking Morgan, and that's not cool. So Cece just start like sort of pulls themselves up about 3 inches
and shortens their hair and comes out a little bit of scruff and bangs and whatnot. And that sounds good. And they walk around the corridor and they go, hey.
Morgan at their back to this particular closet, just like grabbing stuff, putting them in their backpack. And then they hear that and they're like, the door was locked. So they jump, they turn around like, hey, didn't hey. See you there.
Yeah, hey, I'm Pen. I'm the... here.
You?
So what are you doing?
I can see that you are here. Pen.
Yeah.
I am grabbing some stuff for Mr. Arvis class. I am a TA here. Like that's why I'm here. You said what are you doing here?
Well, I'm a human male, clearly. Yeah.
All right, Norman.
Hi, and I reach out my hand and then sort of enjoy this because Morgan doesn't know and is like, I'm Pen. But tell me, so you're taking beakers? You supposed to do that?
No, I'm actually taking graduated cylinders. Yeah, we need those too for demonstration. Yeah, we need those. For Charlie's class, we need the graduate cylinder.
For whose class?
And the biology class with the students.
Okay,
so Pen.
I got in human, here by normal ways as well.
Human, male, Pen, which is such a weird way to introduce yourself.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I'm really, I'm all about pronouns. So, I didn't.
You could technically be male and
wonder.
Choose different.
Anyway, yeah, I was grabbing stuff from this closet with the key I was given to grab things with, and I'm gonna take them and go, because I was looking for things and I found some of them.
Morgan is very suspicious.
Well, obviously. And with good reason. But Morgan, one question. Are you frequently visited by maybe not human folks who need medical help now?
But that has happened before when Peter was still there. That has happened. It is something, yeah. There are some people getting to the lab.
So this is not the first time you've been greeted with a... how do you do, fellow human?
Actually, maybe. That's probably somebody like already like, yes.
Hi, I am obviously a little human girl. I scratch my knee, my heart. Can you please help me? Like,
wait. Hello, little human girl. Yeah, I can. You know, your blood is blue, but absolutely, I can help you. Anyway, yeah, that's probably happened before.
So, I mean, Cece would try to grab their backpack and sort of sidle past Morgan.
Morgan has closed the door behind them, by the way, before when they entered, so the door is not open because they have closed the door because they don't necessarily want to be seen there. So the door is closed right now.
That's not good.
Well, I mean, you can open it.
All right. Yeah, sidle past and, you know, confidently grab the door and more confidently put some strength into it. And looking at Morgan, and then realizing there is no way out. There is no way out. There is shit. There's no way out. Smiling.
Morgan is just slowly nodding, like, hey, pal.
And Pen, it is not used to being Pen. They haven't figured out what that means, but they, they're at a loss.
Okay, seeing that, Morgan's just gonna, like, put their backpack aside, walk a little closer, not too close, but like just take two steps, look at Pen. I assume Pen might be a bit taller than
Pen just Morgan. Sort of stretched themselves out.
Yeah. Okay, so
Pen is leaning against the door doing that very cool thing where you cross every limb.
I assume you do not actually have a key. because obviously you're struggling a little with the door. So,
yeah.
Morgan, our audience wants to know, are you enjoying having a trapped, totally human dude in your lab?
Well, it's not their lab, it's like the university one, so... do they enjoy it? Do they enjoy it? Well,
aren't all labs just like Morgan's favorite terrain?
Right. Well, no, they're not really. They don't want to terrify somebody, or like, I don't know. They don't think that they're. But this person doesn't look comfortable right now, and they just want to figure out what's going on, basically. So, okay, Pen, chill out, man. Like, no worries if you don't have a key or anything. I can open the door for you. But how about you tell me why you're here in the first place? Yeah, I can open the door.
Okay. Pen also puts down their backpack gingerly and looks back at Morgan and decides, no, they don't want to, they still don't want Morgan to know that they're CC. That would just, that conversation would stay all day, and there is a green three-eyed tiger to save. Also, they feel very trapped, so... But there is a green three-eyed tiger to save, and it might have, you know, it might have been in a lab, like... And they look up at Morgan, and they say, yeah, actually, yeah, yeah. yeah, so did you imprison a green three-eyed tiger here?
Because
I'm looking for a green three-eyed tiger, and I'm pretty sure it was in a bio lab, just like this
Morgan
one.
Morgan is like, what? Like, they have not gotten that kind of question before, especially not being, like, in the university lab, like, that looks like a, you know, a normal college student bio lab. So, they look very taken aback, like, I'm sorry. A what?
Yeah, it's...
Wait, okay, a tree-high... Three-eyed green tiger? That's what you
said? Yeah, it's about horse height. Three eyes, green stripes, tiger, big, calls itself the Flurgel Schwumpf. It was here like little over 6 months ago, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, first, this is like a university lab? This is not somewhere you would keep animals, well, except rats, but like those are normal. Yeah, but this is not a place where you would keep like a horse sized green tiger with three eyes. However, I know of another lab.
Yeah.
But we would not keep the three eyes. We would not keep a tiger there.
No. Stop. Morgan, hold on, stop. Tell me, you know, tell me all about this other lab, please, because I've been told they're in the forest, but I mean, they could be caught again, right? I mean, they were in great. Tell, where is this lab? Why don't you go bring it
okay,
now?
Wait, I chill out. we don't keep animals for long, dear. Like if they are animals,
so you have
also,
been keeping
animals. Also, did I tell you my name?
Yeah, we introduced ourselves. Hi, I'm Penn. Hi, I'm Morgan. I'm a TA. I got in normal ways. You were very rudely did not tell me your pronouns.
Okay. You said that you were male, but didn't. Okay. Anyway, you're okay. What are your pronouns? I assume you said you were male.
Yeah, he. All the time. Hey, he. Him. Always he.
Always he. That's good. Okay, I'm Morgan. Nice to meet you. I'm a TA here. My pronouns are they, them.
Hey,
and
nice to meet you.
And I got here very normally compared to you, I believe. But, being said. Okay, back to the tiger, because that's very
back
interesting.
Back to the tiger, back to the biolab.
Yeah.
Okay, so hold on. So you and someone else have been keeping animals somewhere without telling anyone.
No. Okay, Pan. We
I've not been keeping animals. Sometimes people bring animals to this other lab that I'm mentioning.
Okay.
Because they're hurt and they're not really, really animals. I would not necessarily call them animals. A more creature and creatures or other kind of people come there. Like very normal male humans like you, Pen, sometimes come to the lab.
I've never been in a lab before this one. And the one Florgy was in.
I am just saying that we welcome.
Okay, this is.
I am hearing murmurs from the peanut gallery speculating that this lab is where Norman Newman was grown. But in actuality, Norman was born like a normal fucking human.
In very heterosexual sex.
Perfectly normal male humans have visited Morgan's lab before. For blood.
Yes.
Yeah, so it is in fact normal for them to receive a visit from a normal male human.
Dear listener, you're likely already familiar with the network of mysterious labs that Penn is currently seeking out. In our second mystery, Norman practiced the kind of diplomacy only a venerated town selectman is capable of by blowing up a lab holding not dear with a swiftly delivered hand grenade. Another of these facilities turned up as the neighborhood watch tracked down a horde of child-stealing slime creatures. Jessa June, can you remind us what happened to that lab?
There were slime monsters in the lab. There was also a giant slime monster, like, room engulfing thing that we, I believe, electrocuted and bashed to death. So, yeah, but that was...
And there was a dead scientist.
And there was a dead scientist, yes, and many, many captured children. But yes, there were, we did have dead people.
Oh, so the kids are all right.
See?
That lab was left standing.
But nobody knows where the actual entrance is because you all used a magical means of ingress, correct?
Yep, we portaled in.
Okay, back to the matter at hand. Green Tiger, like I said, we don't keep animals in the lab, we treat them. However, I think there was another place that might fit your description. I haven't been personally over there, but there was some stolen children, so that were not exactly the most normal
right
children.
No, but I'm looking for, I mean,
but you're looking for a green three-eyed tiger. Yeah. That's so cool. What do you call it?
Florgy is really cool. Actually, I really liked them a lot. I mean, I only saw them for a minute, but like, you know, because we had to get them out because they were very, very, very hurt and they were not happy to be there. So tell me about things, CC Penn says, remembering who they are.
Well, yeah, so it's a lab that, is there than one? There's more than one. Yeah, there is more than one. Yeah, they were stealing children's, and,
can you take me? I'd recognize it if I saw it.
I don't think I... No, I can't take you. But I do know a few people that, might know a bit better than me, because I haven't, like, personally been there. But yeah, so if your Fergie is over there, these people might help you.
Okay,
they have pretty good nose for that kind of thing.
I don't. Just point me where I should go, please.
Well, I don't know where they are right now. They might be at the
Growl and Prowl.
One other person who might be able to help you would be Norman Newman. But the other person who.
Norman.
Yeah, but I think you should more go to the Growl and Prowl. It's not a lab. It's not a lab. It's where people who might know about the lab are. Yeah. But don't call it like a bio lab, or don't call it like, I don't know. Yeah, there is a lot of laboratory around this town. That I think about it. Okay, so mine is good. Mine is Peter's. Actually, it's Peter's, but mine, which is like if you, a normal person, get hurt or other people get hurt, you can come
too. And
So you're saying...
So we help people. We don't keep them in cage unless they're very... Unless they're crazed and don't want to be treated, then we have to put the anesthesia in it. Anyway. Yeah.
I mean...
Ground.
Yeah, CC Pen is trying really hard not to cry. This is just way too much.
Sorry.
And, this Flurgy was not crazed. That's all I could tell you. He was not crazed. He was not. And he was hurt, and I think he was hurt by someone in the lab, but look, just, okay, so I'm going, just the place I'm going next, I can ask them there, and there are more than one labs around town?
Apparently. Well, there you're standing in what we call a university laboratory.
I know what this place is. Thank you.
Okay.
And actually, there's a bit of a snarl.
Yeah.
And the teeth get a little long for a second.
Like, Morgan just actually doesn't take a step up, but just like leans back a little. Moves like. Just
tell me a name. Tell me a name and a place, and I'll get out of your lab. Okay.
It's not mine. The name is just a June or her brother, Luke. Yeah, at the Growl and Prowl. You might find them there. And, when you find this Fergie, if it's still, if it is hurt in any way, or just give me a call. Do you want my, can I give you my number?
I don't. Really do cell phones? I mean, yeah, sure.
What do you do?
Sure, if you email. If you feel obliged. Yeah.
Okay,
And then you could... Great, thank you.
Okay, so Regan's gonna, like, turn around and get their back to you and just, like, grab a sheet of paper right there. The lab phone number actually on it.
Oh.
Well, they don't know it's CC, so they don't give it the lab phone number.
Okay.
Here.
Thanks.
So yeah, don't hesitate if there is something, and even if you are like bar and you need, I don't know, somebody to try to tell you on the phone how to treat your Fergie or whatever you find at that lab, because I'm very curious. Can you do like a report of what you found at that lab? Because I've heard
I don't
some
know that
stuff.
I want to give you a. Okay. You know what?
I know. Take picture. I know you don't have a phone.
Pen just shakes their head and takes the paper and puts it in their jeans and smiles again and picks up their backpack and says, Jessa June, Growl and Prowl, I got your number. I'm sure if Flurgy's hurt, we'll manage it. And will you open this door?
Sure.
Thanks.
All right. Morgan, like, does is Pen? Where is Pen? Door to door. Is he like?
Pen is still with their back on.
Okay, exactly.
The door.
Yes. Like,
Pen
I need,
moves out of the way enough for you to do that.
I need you to, shift. Thanks.
Yeah, I move.
Okay. Open the door. Good luck on your Froggy quest.
Thanks.
Be careful. Bye.
Bye. Closes the door, takes a moment, and as they're walking out, they get just a little taller, a little buffer. And I think giving the scruff gets a bit scruffier. The chest hair starts coming in. They're just really trying to hold themselves together because they knew Morgan was up to something. They knew there was more than one lab in this place.
This finishes! Oh my god,
holy
this
fuck, what were they doing to Flurgy? And Morgan probably knows all about it, and swear to god, if Flurgy is hurt. Anyway, so they're walking along. Magical HRT, amazing.
Well, Morgan may be known for their atypical telephone manner, today's studio audience ranks the researcher number one in Riz among Reddingtonians for giving their number to seemingly everyone. And gods, yes, magical HRT is one of the many reasons we love our little town.
Yeah, so they're walking along, they're going past Aw Beans again. and they smell that smell, and their senses are just a little on edge. Something smells something, and so they decide to sidle in and just see if they can sniff better. When who do they see? But
Jesse June is sitting at a table in Ah Beans. She was there having a conversation with Zoe and hasn't quite picked herself up and left yet. So she was about to get up and go, but she's still sitting for the moment. She's, you know, in her usual clothes and in human form. Normal human form. That's what she's in. Normal human form.
I'm inclined to stay as Pen because I'm just so angry. I just need to be this, like, suddenly bulked out.
Go for it.
Like,
yeah, now Cece hates Morgan even more, though.
I know! I'm so sorry!
Why?
Before we witness the first meeting between Pen and Jessa June, let's see how Morgan handles their strange encounter.
So, yeah, after that, like, since there's somebody who looked a little pissed, who's going to go to June's, yeah, they just, like, fumble through their contact of people that have called them recently or in the past weeks. And, of course, they struggle at writing actual names, so they have to go through the conversation, like, see what has been talked about to find back who is Luke and who is Jessa, and because they all have they all don't have names except maybe like Delilah and like Wendy. We don't have Wendy yet, so I guess it's only Delilah and like their father and maybe Charles Arby is the teacher they gave for. So yeah, they struggle to find it, but they end up finding Luke's number and calling them.
The phone rings at the Greeley's car shop, the Growl and Prowl. Dear listener, you may recall that this is where Delilah's Vespa currently resides, pending satisfactory completion of a driver's ed course.
Growl and Prowl Garage, we'll make your engine purr. How can I help you today?
Hi, Luke. It's Morgan from the lab.
Oh, Doc Morgan, how you doing?
Hey, still not a doc. Hey, but I'm doing good. But yeah, you might have a visitor.
Are you calling about your friend's Vespa? It's not done yet.
Oh, yeah. Damn, I feel so bad about that.
Yeah, it took a real big fall. I'm not sure.
It did.
You sure she doesn't just want to buy a new one?
I'm not going to suggest it to her. No, I think please fix it. I mean, that looked like it had like a sentimental value or something. I don't know. I always saw her with it, so that'd be good if it was. That'd be good if it was fixed, please.
Well, all right. So is that what you were calling about?
No, that's not about the Delilah's Vespa. That's about somebody who might come by the garage to look for an evil lab. And please, like, specify that it's not mine. They seem, like, really pissed at me for some reason. They're looking for, his name is Ben, and he's looking for a green tiger named Fergie, which sounds super interesting. Like, damn. But, looked way too pissed for me to, like, go along with him.
Sorry. Someone's coming here to look for an evil lab.
Yeah, because I heard
we
from...
mainly do cars.
Luke, I know. Sorry. Oh shit. Yeah, I should have explained that better. Sorry.
I mean, we can try, but mostly cars.
Yeah,
the occasional Vespa.
I'm sorry. I don't have Jess's number. I had yours. So that's. Yeah, it's actually just a Wesley information about, like, the evil lab, I think, and Norman Newman, but, I just indicated them to Jessa. So, he's going to go.
It's a job for Jessa June, then. Alright, I'll make sure she hears about it. I mean, I don't know if she's been working for any evil labs. We try to handle all that sort of before any of the jobs get to her. But no. I'll ask her if she's heard anything.
No, it was about children being kidnapped that were, that had like fae blood
she
and were.
She definitely has not been kidnapping children.
I know, she's not a child. I know. It's... Luke! That's not what I'm saying.
We vet our jobs very carefully.
Okay, all I'm saying is she has information about children that has been, that have been kidnapped and kept in a lab because of her fae blood, and apparently, I think that might be similar to, like, a similar purpose of, like, stealing a creature to experiment on it or whatever. There are also, like, less and less magical creature in the wood recently. It's so weird, yeah. So, Fergie might be in one of those labs, and Jessie June might know about that, and some angry fella is going to go to your place because I told them that you had information about it.
Well, I'll talk to Jessie June. I'm sure she can handle herself,
cool,
but I will
give
her the heads up about the evil child kidnapping green tiger kidnapping.
Exactly. Sorry for sending
and
him
And the
your
angry
way.
Fella.
Yeah, sorry for sending
I'm sure
him
we can handle him, but just in
That's
case.
What I thought. Yeah, cool. Okay, awesome. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye, Doc.
What's that? I have the results of another audience poll and... Oh no, it seems that an overwhelming majority feel that it is a crime for Delilah to be without a Vespa. It may feel that way, but once I'm satisfied with her defensive driving, she can have it back.
I assume the Greelys have been told to just keep telling her it can't be fixed.
That is correct. Until they get word from me, they aren't allowed to order the replacement cylinder studs they need to finish the repair.
It's hung up in customs.
And... No, we're having to pay customs fees. It's a whole...
Or yet, as improve a little bit at phones just because they're calling like somebody who doesn't like aid them or who's not expecting anything, so...
Well, it is somebody that they know. And if Morgan is calling someone they have seen naked, if this is not past the point of awkwardness...
Exactly. It's sort of a friend.
Oh my god.
That was sort of for work, like calling a client, you know, a client.
So, we have Morgan in the bio lab, Luke at the Growl and Prowl, Jessa, June, and Cece at Aubyn's. Where is Nihilus at this point?
Nihilus has a 57 Chevy Bel Air
car
that is a bit temperamental.
Oh.
So did Nihilus hear that phone call?
Oh.
I would imagine the phone call is probably, like, he's sitting in the customer area probably, or not sitting there eavesdropping on business calls.
So Cece is all riled up and is smelling something weird and is kind of down for a fight or something, and is following his nose into this place, because it's not just coffee, and catches the eye of Jessie June, kind of freezes as he takes her in, presuming her, which is very rude of Penn.
Jessie June, like I said, she was about to leave, so she's, you know, taking a moment to gather herself and everything, and then this guy walks in and starts giving her the eye, so she sort of frowns a little.
How tall is Jessie June?
Jessie June is 5'10".
Okay, yeah, no, I am at least 6'2 or 3 at the moment, just FYI.
Sure. So Jessie sort of frowns a little bit and pushes her chair back and stands up and turns to face this guy and says, "Can I help you with something?"
And Penn sort of freezes because they realize that they were now going on clear animal instinct, and it is rude to start sniffing in human form. And they look at Jessie June, and they're trying to surreptitiously just sort of look like they're smelling the espresso or the lattes, or is that an Americano? And,
Damn, and why do you get to sniff people?
They're sniffing. They're trying to figure out what's going on and not answering this woman that smells like damp fur, kind of.
Jess is working real hard on smelling like a human.
human been borrowing Norman's t-shirt. She now also smells like new t-shirts for some reason.
having been sniffed many times before, Jessa is really not down with being sniffed in the middle of a coffee shop. So she's going to take a couple steps closer to the big guy and say, if you and I need to have business, we need to step outside. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, dear. It seems like a dust-up is brewing between Jessa, June, and Penn. Will fur fly? Will claws rend? The only way to know what happens next is to tune in for the next chapter of Flurgy Quest. Thank you for listening to Welcome to Reddington. Reddington's monsters are controlled by Meg Griffin. Episodes are edited by Alex Lavelle and produced by Algie Todd. A special thanks to Red Griffin for our character art and to Michael Sands and Evil Hat for the Monster of the Week gaming system used in this podcast. We will be back in 2 weeks for the start of Mystery 8, Siren Nights. Until then, you can check out our Patreon for additional content, such as episodes released pre-Wendy Line. We know that money is tight, so if you're enjoying the show, we would really appreciate it if you could leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome to Reddington is created by Feathered Frequency Productions and is part of the Haunted Griffin Entertainment Network. Please check out our websites for more of our shows. Today's episode starred
Emily C.A. Snyder as C.C. Mark Penn Stratos.
Lauren Tucker as Isolde Finnegan.
Cam Clark as Morgan LaPointe Evans.
Sarah Palmero as Jessa June Greeley.
Algie Todd as Luke Greeley.
Mick Wheaton as Nihilus Wheeler.